Now, when someone like Jim Himes says he's now in favor of an impeachment inquiry into President Trump, well, we figured we should find out what's going on. Welcome. We're glad you're part of the full story. I'm Ron Ropiak. As always, I thank you for listening, and I thank you for your time. The Democratic congressman from the 4th District is sitting across from me. He ran up the stairs, so I'm going to give him 30 seconds to catch his breath. I know he's in good shape, but yeah, we'll give him a few seconds anyway. 10 seconds will be fine. We're going to enjoy hearing from you today. What do you think? Is it time for an impeachment inquiry into the president? Are you maybe a Republican or a supporter of the president and you think this is a waste of time? Well, you can email us. That's the easiest way to get to us right now. We're at tfs@wshu.org. You can find us on Twitter, full story WSHU. And actually, I have my own Twitter page at Ron Ropiak WSHU. Hi, Congressman. Good to see you.
Hey, Ron. Great to be here.
How was the drive up?
It was a little dense.
Even in the middle of the day nowadays.
Middle of the day. You know what? Summertime, right? People are getting the drop on the holiday traffic.
Yeah. I was reading about it. They said get a head start. Wherever you're going, get a head start right now. You raised some eyebrows with your announcement. You'd like to start an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Yet at the exact same time, you said, look, I make this announcement. These were your words, realizing there's no chance that the president, almost no chance that the president will be removed from office. So why do it?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, and you're absolutely right. You know, 3-4 weeks ago, I was in a different place. I was sort of playing the odds on how would that affect our ability to get a transportation infrastructure deal done? How would that affect our ability to do other constructive things? By the way, what would be the impact on what is the opportunity to deliver some accountability to this president, which is the 2020 election? So then the two things changed for me. Number one, there was a week when the president said, setting aside Russia and the investigation and everything, he said, we're not letting people testify on the question of the citizenship question in the census. Just no, you can't do that. And that comes on the heels of not letting other people in the administration testify, not producing documents. You know, that's really a core abuse of power. I mean, this country has always acknowledged that we have co-equal branches that check and balance each other. If the president says thumbs his nose at the Congress and says, no, I will not do that, that president starts to look a little more like a king than a president. Outside of that, of course, you've got the behavior, which may or may not be impeachable. Of course, you know, Michael Cohen, his personal lawyer, is in prison right now for crimes that the president apparently asked him to commit. You know, you've got the any number of episodes of the president potentially abusing his office. And then on the outside of that, maybe this isn't impeachable, but you have the constant attacks on the Department of Justice, on the FBI, you know, people who risk their lives every day to keep us safe, attacks on the media, on the press, you know, cozying up to dictators. And so you put all of that stuff together. And what I realized was, and this was with the second thing, which is the opinions of my constituents. I talked to constituent after constituent. And you know what they said to me? They said, this is a moment to speak with real clarity. No conditions, no working the odds, no thinking about 2020. Behavior like this requires you to speak with conviction of your values and stand up. And I would go home after those conversations and say, well, I think I convinced them on where I was. And then I thought, son of a gun, they're right and I'm wrong. And so I changed my mind on this. And you're absolutely right, Ron. This is not going to lead to removal of the president, but it should. It should lead to a unified consideration of the president's behavior. That's what impeachment is. Remember, impeachment is a process. It's not an outcome. Consideration of this president's behavior so that the American public can see in a very fair venue, right? You'll have defenders of the president as well as those who are not defenders of the president, you know, make their own judgments about the behavior of this president.
So you said that you went out and you talked with your constituents, and the 4th District is considered to be by many a purple district. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's been trending more Democratic. You know, when you see a state senator, a Democratic state senator out of Greenwich, something you haven't seen in 100 years, you know, when you see the towns of Greenwich and New Canaan and Darien, traditional Republican towns voting for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, you see the district changing. Now, that's not necessarily a red and blue thing. There's a little bit of Donald Trump injected into that chemistry equation as well. But yeah, it's still a very New England, generally Connecticut. We're the land of Lowell Weicker and Joe Lieberman. I mean, you know, people are quirky politically in New England generally and in Connecticut in particular.
I ask that question with this in mind. Have you heard anything from any of your other fellow representatives in the state, whether or not they are going to do what you are doing?
Well, I think they're doing exactly what I did, which is staying very close to their constituents and weighing what is a very serious consideration. I mean, next to declaring war, impeachment power, impeachment, of course, if it were ever to be seen through, which it won't in this case, is the reversal of the results of a presidential election. It's a very serious thing. So I don't in any way, shape or form blame my colleagues who may be where I was 4 weeks ago. And I certainly don't blame Speaker Pelosi. I know there's a lot of sort of frustration directed her way. But, you know, my job is to look after 750,000 constituents in southwestern Connecticut. She sees the whole country. Her job is to lead the party. So she's, you know, she's got a slightly different view than I do right now, but I respect that.
Are you concerned about any, since the 4th District has still a lot of conservative Republicans, even moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats, are you concerned about a political backlash?
Well, weirdly, the response has been far more positive than I expected. I expected to kind of get even quantities of support versus people saying, hey, why'd you do that? It's been much more the former, surprisingly so. Now, I know there are people out there who wish that I had not done that, but not as many and not as vocal as I had expected. And candidly, two things I would say. One, it feels very good in the face of outrageous behavior. And look, even if you're a Trump supporter, it's outrageous behavior. You know, somebody walks into your house and behaves the way the president behaves on any given Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, that person doesn't hang around your house very long. It feels good to be speaking with real clarity on that issue. And so it's a happier place for me to be than when I'm weighing this, like, well, if we do this, does it hurt our chances in 2020? What do people in Pennsylvania and Ohio think? All I can do is speak for my constituents. What I was worried, Ron, and I still worry about this, honestly, I spend my days in Washington pushing really, really hard for what we know this president says he wants, which is a major investment in our infrastructure nationally. And I suspect that, you know, the more talk, and I just from observing the president, the more talk of impeachment, the more talk of investigations, the less likely he is to go there. But on the other hand, and this was a part of my thinking, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has basically said, he called himself the Grim Reaper of all legislation. So when Mitch McConnell says we're not doing anything, my concern over our ability to get a big infrastructure deal done is reduced a little bit.
I was reading an article, and I believe it was Vanity Fair, a little bit earlier today, and talking about the impeachment push. And they were quoting some political consultants, and they were saying, besides a backlash against you, they were saying there could be such a backlash across the country from voters that this may actually help Donald Trump get reelected. Did you take that into consideration?
Well, again, my responsibility is exclusively to my constituents. So, you know, it's not my job to worry, although I must tell you I was. So I'm not going to dismiss the possibility that you just raised, because, again, 2020 is a pretty important election in my opinion. But you know, again, my primary responsibility is to my constituents, and that's what I thought most about.
I appreciate what you said before, that there were two main areas that really got you motivated, got you thinking and led you to this point. But over the weekend, I was with some friends and we were sitting around talking, and they said, who's coming up on the show this week? And I said, Jim Himes is coming in. And this was down in the Greenwich area. And one of the guys looked at me and he said, what does he know that made him reach this point? And is there something that Jim Himes knows that the rest of us don't know? And this is exactly what he said. And he goes, please ask him that.
Yeah. Of course, by definition, if there were something that I knew that the rest of us don't, I couldn't tell you, certainly not on the radio. But no, in fact, let me put that to rest. I do get that question from time to time since I do sit on the Intelligence Committee. No, I don't know anything in particular that people don't. I worry about lots of things that people don't, in the realm of terrorism and Iran and North Korea and stuff. But no, there's nothing I saw that sort of pushed me in the direction that that every other American doesn't have some visibility into.
It's interesting that you say that. I remember, I think it was President Clinton, I heard him say something once, and they said, what do you worry about? He goes, the things I worry about are the things I can't tell you, the things that I know that are just staying secret. still, it's you as a moderate Democrat. I mean, what kind of reaction have you gotten in Washington? I understand what's going here in Connecticut, but when you're down in D.C., do people look at you differently now? Because you are considered to be very measured, if you will.
Yeah, and in the last Congress, I was chairman of the New Democrat Coalition. These are the, you know, these are the more pragmatic, the more moderate version of Dem. These are people who come from districts like this one and tougher districts than this one, districts like Kansas and Ohio and, you know, Orange County, California. Mm. So I think you said it exactly right. There were a few eyebrows that went up. But again, it's hard for anybody to say that the president's behavior is okay. In candid moments behind closed doors, almost all of my Republican colleagues will say some version of that. The president's behavior is not okay. The question really is what to do about it, what to do about it. And of course, you know, people can have different views of that. But, you know, I sometimes say when I'm in Washington, my obviously the president creates a lot of anxiety amongst the Democratic members. He creates an immense amount of anxiety amongst Republican members. You know, I never imagined we would see a Republican Party that was isolationist, that was anti-trade, that was pro-tariff, that was anti-immigrant. Remember, traditionally and historically, the Republican Party was very pro-immigrant. It was the Democratic Party that was more skeptical of immigration.
Jim Himes is with us, Congressman from the 4th District. We have him for about another 10, 15 minutes or so. He has to get out of here at 1:30. If you'd like to join in the conversation, email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. Or you can find us on Twitter at FullStoryWSHU. We're going to take a short break, let the congressman have a sip of water, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. It's the Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak. Congressman Jim Himes is with us. He's with us for about another 15 minutes or so. If you have any questions for him or comments about what he's talking about, he's calling for an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. You could email us at tfs@wshu.org, tfs@wshu.org. I just want to clarify something. Is there a difference between saying I would like the president impeached or an impeachment inquiry?
Absolutely. And in fact, I wouldn't say I would like to see the president impeached. Again, impeachment is a process. So it starts with an inquiry. It's just an investigation in which the behavior of the president is examined in a fair context, meaning he's got his defenders and as well as those who are his prosecutors, if you will. Then if Congress chose to do so, they might write articles of impeachment. Those would come as the result of the inquiry, and then the House would vote on those articles of impeachment. So it's at least a three-step process. And again, saying I want him to be impeached before an inquiry is a little bit like saying, you know, I want the guy to go to jail before he's even
before
been tried.
Okay.
And so, not the best analogy, I know. But
I understand. The reason is because over the last few days, I went through many news sites and good reporters, too. And so many of them simply said Jim Himes wants the president impeached. And I'm reading the articles going, I don't believe that's what he said. He's saying, let's look into this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you asked me earlier, what is the value of that? And that's a fair question, especially if there's no chance that the president is removed. The value of that is that the inquiry is the moment in which the American people, who will really be the audience, get to see an organized, centralized investigation into the president's behavior, whether it's his financial behavior, business behavior, Russia, you know, interactions with Russians, obstruction of justice. Right now, of course, what Americans are seeing, they're seeing that happening in four or five different committees. So, it would really be an investigation in which people could form their own conclusions and hopefully, tell their representatives whether they think it should go any further than simply an inquiry.
I know you mentioned a number of things that the president has done that irks you. Can you point to one that you think would find the most disturbing?
Well, from the standpoint of the health of our democracy, without question, the most disturbing thing is a president who says, I will not in any way abide by Congress's requests for documents, for testimony. Again, this is new. Look, presidents have always, you know, dragged their feet on on producing documents. Never have we had a president who does not acknowledge the authority of the Congress to act as a check and a balance, right? And I hope that people can hear that in a nonpartisan way, right? There will someday be a Democratic president that the Republican Congress wants to check and balance. Mm. So from the standpoint of our Constitution, that is probably the most offensive. Now, what about from the standpoint of just you and me as people? This will not be impeachable, but, you know, pick your illustration of places we don't want to go morally. Most recently, I would point to some of just the appalling imagery that we're getting out of the border. And look, I acknowledge that we've got a crisis down there. I acknowledge that we need borders that work. But we just, as Americans, cannot tolerate the criminalization of people. And the reason I say the criminalization is not because they're not breaking the law. Folks that come across the border are breaking the law. But when you put people into what is essentially a penal environment where you take children from their parents, that's a place that morally this country does not want to go. Now, is that impeachable behavior? I doubt it, but it is uncomfortably morally for anybody who is watching what's going on.
Do you think any of what you're saying will in any way affect the Republicans who support the president? I was speaking with a friend of mine on Long Island a while back, and the president had done something, and he called me up and he said, this will turn the tide. There's no way even the Republicans can say that this is okay. And I disagreed. I said, look, from everything that we've seen, his base is strong behind him, and there's nothing that he will do that will turn that base off.
Yeah, sadly, I believe that's true. And, you know, I quote the president sometimes when he made that famous statement about I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't cause me to lose people. Now, I don't think that's 100% true, right? I do think that the president has I don't know whether it's 25% or 30% of the population who is just so enamored of his personality, of the way he, I guess, breaks glass and, you know, sort of sticks it to the man or whatever it is that they see in this president, that no behavior is going to change their minds. But that's not everybody. That's not everybody. And remember, accountability is in elections. And elections, the president is president, even though he won fewer votes than the other candidate, 3.5 million fewer. You know, you move a couple hundred thousand people and you may deliver accountability in a presidential election.
Were you surprised at the reaction of what you're calling for had across the country? Because this isn't just the raised eyebrows in Connecticut. This was straight across the board, news articles around the country saying, Jim Himes is doing this.
Well, again, I do have a little bit of visibility in Washington as a little bit of a leader of the moderate Democrats. So, yes, I do think it caught people's attention. But, you know, others are doing it, too. You know, my friend Scott Peters, who represents a Republican district in San Diego, he just came out. And I think people get it. I think what we worry about nationally, and again, it's not my job to worry nationally. My job is to represent my constituents. What we worry about nationally is that I do think the Democratic Party runs some risk going into 2020. If all we do in the next 18 months is talk about impeachment, the president's incredibly awful behavior, and immigration issues, which of course is where Donald Trump wants to be, the issues that he likes to talk about, we run a real risk of having a lot of people in this country say, hey, wait a second. Look, I don't necessarily agree with the president's behavior, but I'm not sure those Democrats are focused as they should be on my health care costs, on my challenges in educating my kids, and the fact that I can't afford to educate my kids, or the fact that I worry about retirement. I do really worry that we could overemphasize issues that don't speak to kitchen table anxieties in middle America.
I want to ask you about Nancy Pelosi. I know I only have you for a few more moments. She's the Speaker of the House. She's indicated she's playing the long game, if you will. She knows the president will not be impeached in the Senate. Have you spoken with the Speaker about your position?
I have. And I make it a point not to ever ambush a teammate. And so I did not surprise her with my announcement. I talked to her. She has not tried to dissuade anybody from announcing their point of view either way on impeachment inquiries. Look, the press often makes it sound like, well, if we get up to 120 Democratic members, Nancy Pelosi is going to have to impeach. You know, there's going to be such immense pressure on her. No. You know, she is a historical figure already, first female Speaker of the House. She knows that this next two or three years is her legacy. And, you know, no number of freshman Democrats or, there is no amount of pressure that her caucus will put on her. She will do exactly what she thinks is both right, but also make sense for the time.
I was just told that you can actually stay with us till the end of the segment. I'm grateful for that. So I have you for another 9 minutes or so. And thanks for that. I just want to let everyone know coming up after that, Steve Israel, who's the former congressman from Long Island, is going to be joining us. He's actually listening right now. And because he wrote an interesting article in The Atlantic magazine about Nancy Pelosi and her views, he worked with her for, I think he was in office for 17 years or so. So he worked with her for a long time.
Yeah, worked very closely. Yeah, no, he's actually a good friend of mine. It'll be great to get his perspective. Steve represented a challenging district. And he, as chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, his job every single day was to think about how your message and what you do impacts the whole country, and including Republican areas of the country. So I think he'll probably have a very interesting perspective on this.
And Professor Gary Rose from Sacred Heart is also going to be speaking in the last segment, and he'll give us the academic point of view. Nancy Pelosi said, and I'm going to quote her now, he said, "Trump is goading us to impeach him. He wants to solidify his base." So with that in mind, are you concerned that you're playing into the president's hands?
I'm a little bit concerned. The president cannot win with his base alone. He needs those classic voters who voted for Obama and who voted for him. And there are not a lot of those voters, but they are in interesting places like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. And so, of course, you know, outrageous comments about the border, talk of impeachment, those comments absolutely fire up his base. But the risk he's running is that he alienates everybody but his base, because he can't win just with his base alone. The risk we're running, of course, is that we take our eye off a similar ball, which is the fundamentally economic concerns, the economic anxiety that even in this time of, fairly good economic numbers is besetting actually people in places like Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin. If we as Democrats take our eye off that ball, that's a danger. So if we constantly respond to his attempts to control the message, in other words, if he provokes us to run after that shiny thing on Wednesday and the new shiny thing on Thursday, we could take our eye off the ball. And that worries me more than his firing it. Look, his base is fired up. He's going to fire him up more. The question is people who are persuadable. And we've got to not ever lose sight of what they're thinking about. And Ron, this really scares me. And Gary, I think, will have an interesting perspective on this, because this district, this part of Connecticut used to be very, very much a swing district. Mm-hmm. But in the context of Donald Trump, and by the way, it will be a swing district again, but in the context of Donald Trump, when Darien, Connecticut, when New Canaan, Connecticut, when Greenwich, Connecticut, those are three Republican towns, the first two in particular, when those two towns, those three towns, vote against Donald Trump and for Hillary Clinton, you know that the president, let's just say, splits Republicans in a place like Fairfield County. That's not necessarily true in places like Ohio and Michigan, Wisconsin.
Do you mind if we bring Steve Israel in for a second?
I'd love to say hi to Steve.
Former congressman, how are you?
Well, I'm much better now that I know that Congressman Himes is on this call. he's one of the brightest and most articulate members of Congress, and the only policy difference that Congressman Hines and I ever had was over whether Connecticut pizza or Long Island pizza is the preferred cuisine.
That's not
Long
a policy
pizza.
Difference.
Jim is wrong on Connecticut.
That's a New Yorker delusion.
Look, growing up in New York, you know how I feel about New York pizza, but I've had New Haven pies, and that's pretty amazing, too. I mean, it's hard to choose between the two. Steve, you served with Nancy Pelosi. You got to know her well, how she works. Will she let impeachment proceedings move forward?
Not until she believes that the public sentiment is right for it. And as Jim knows, and I wrote this in a piece for The Atlantic, I think one of the most telling things in Speaker Pelosi's office was a portrait of Abraham Lincoln that was the only thing that she would hung on the wall of the conference room that she had when she was the Democratic leader, and it hung just above the chair in which she sat, and it was just a portrait of Abraham Lincoln when he was a congressman for one term. And when Jim and I would sit in some contentious meetings talking about what we ought to do through a policy prism or a political prism, at the end of those conversations, she would invariably point to that portrait and say, "Remember what Lincoln said, public sentiment is everything." Right, Jim? You remember those moments, right? Public sentiment is everything. And by that, she doesn't mean that we just put a finger up in the wind and measure public opinion or look at a poll. In fact, her view is that you've got to sometimes shape public sentiment in order to be effective, that if you do something too quickly, too hastily, and the public's not ready for it, it can backfire. So my view of her view on this, and I had her, I now run the Cornell Institute of Politics in New York City, and we had her at an event just last month where she was asked about impeachment. So my view of her view is that if you go too soon, you risk alienating a lot of voters. There are now over 30 Democrats who were in districts that Donald Trump won, that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton in. It creates a problem for those Democrats. And at the end of the day, if the Senate does not convict Donald Trump, which it will not do, then he has license. He's off the hook. Think about what he did in the Mueller report where he said he was completely vindicated when he was not. Think about how he would act when the Senate acquits him of crimes. That gives him license. And so she, I believe, thinks that you've got to continue to investigate him, create the right circumstances, the right fact patterns to impeach him. And then when there are clearly impeached evidence of incontrovertible evidence of crimes, impeachable crimes, and some more bipartisan consensus, then the time is right.
I have about 3 or so minutes left, so I'm going to ask if you and Congressman Himes can both answer this question, because some have argued that to do nothing is to send a signal to the president and others that they can do whatever they want, and whether it's a Democrat or Republican, that no one gets, and I believe you said this before, that no one gets to be king or queen of the United States. So even though he may not get impeached, you have to go at him now.
Yeah, Ron, that was actually one of the factors I thought about in making my decision, which is not just the signal it sends to Donald Trump, but the signal it sends to posterity. If behavior like that exhibited by the president doesn't warrant at least an impeachment inquiry, what does? And you do worry that just as other norms are being trashed all over the place, that in the future in this country, presidents might say, "Hey, well, look at all this stuff Donald Trump did. They didn't even start an inquiry. They didn't even consider it, so I can get away with it." So, yes, that's a very we do owe a debt to the future in how we speak about the president's behavior and how we respond. And that was meaningful in my thought process.
Steve Israel, your thoughts, please.
You know, it's a tough call, and I think it tears at the soul of Democrats. Many progressives worry that if Democrats avoid impeachment with this president, they're setting a bad precedent. But for some Democrats, there's a worse outcome, and that is a premature impeachment that acquits Trump and helps result in his reelection, the election of a loyal Republican majority in Congress, an expanded Republican majority in state legislatures, and a permanently hyper-conservative judiciary. So I think it is a very tough call, and you've got to balance these equities. I think Pelosi's response is the best one. Let's continue to investigate, exercise our constitutional oversight responsibility, see where the facts lead, and continue to shape public sentiment.
Congressman Himes, with the minute that we have left, where does this go now? How does this shape out over the next? Is it going to be weeks? Is it going to be months?
Well, I'll make two observations. Number one, the House is winning in court. So every time we have litigated, whether it was with the president's accountants, whether it was with Deutsche Bank, judges have said in no uncertain terms, no, you must comply with congressional subpoenas, with congressional requests. So we will continue to win in court. The only flaw there, of course, is that litigating takes some time. So I think you're going to continue to see that. And the other thing I would predict, with respect to the president, I think Steve Israel is exactly right. I think Speaker Pelosi is counting on the passage of time doing what it has done in the first 2 years of the president's administration, which is uncovering further behavior that gradually changes people's minds. Again, not everybody's minds, not his base, but it's hard for me to imagine that the president wakes up tomorrow morning with a new ethical sensibility, a new willingness to reach out to people that he has previously criticized. So I think in that regard, the speaker's being pretty wily. I think she understands that time is not this president's friend, at least in terms of how people perceive him.
Jim Himes is the congressman from the 4th District in Connecticut. Steve Israel is a former congressman from Long Island. He wrote an article, an excellent article. You should read it. It's in The Atlantic. You can find it online. Steve Israel, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Good to be with you.
Great to chat with you, Steve.
Congressman, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming
in.
I appreciate it. It's The Full Story on WSHE. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's The Full Story on WSHU. You can comment on today's program or on any of our programs by dropping an email to tfs@wshu.org. If you like Twitter, you can find us at Full Story WSHU, and you could also find me at Ron Ropiak, WSHU. And finally, if that isn't enough, you can go on Facebook, check us out there at The Full Story. We've had the political view of impeachment. Now let's get the academic perspective. Gary Rose is professor and chair in the Department of Government, Politics, and Global Studies at Sacred Heart University and just published his 13th book. Larry Levy is executive dean of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University. Larry, Professor Rose, always a pleasure.
How are you, Ron?
I'm well, thank you. Larry, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, Professor Rose, you were sitting here and you were listening to what Congressman Himes had to say. Your impressions, please.
Well, I understand where he's coming from, particularly from a political standpoint, because I'm very familiar with the 4th District that he represents. And he's 100% correct that the district has been in transition. Had it remained as it was, a couple decades ago, I do question whether or not he would be calling for an impeachment inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
That district used to be really a swing district, and it was actually at one time a Republican district. And then it became swing, and it is now moving in a much more Democratic liberal direction. And he cited some of the towns where that's evident. So I don't want to say that the congressman is just playing to his base. I think that would be unfair to make that statement. But clearly, I think we see a perspective that is consistent with really the political developments that have been taking place within the 4th District.
Larry Levy, do you think impeachment has a shot? Let me put it that way.
Well, I tend to avoid crystal balls and tea leaves. Let's put it like this. Politically, in the places that we study at the National Center for Suburban Studies, it's probably not a winner. The suburbs, it's almost axiomatic now that the suburbs are the swing vote in the country, that while there are plenty of what we used to call rock rib Republicans or deep red conservatives, and also plenty of progressives, there is a preponderance, or there's certainly a healthy representation of moderate. And while we have not polled the question of impeachment recently, I could make a fairly educated guess that moderate voters, are not moved by this. It may appeal to, the base of the base in some of the Long Island districts, but in bringing the left wing into the fold, you may risk alienating, the moderate suburbanites. We used to call them soccer moms. I think now they're Panera moms. Who have much more basic butter and social concerns and would rather hear about things like education and child care and other issues rather than what many of them see as, even if they agree that the guy ought to go, President Trump, that it's something to be decided at the ballot box or the polls. rather than by taking up all the congressional time and energy on impeachment.
Scott McLean is also with us. He's professor of political science at Quinnipiac University. Professor McLean, what do you think? Should impeachment proceedings or at least an inquiry move forward, or is it just a waste of time?
Tough question. I think what's really interesting, and hello, Ron. I think what's really interesting here is that when you look at the public's ruminations on these questions, it's not clear that they know the difference between starting an investigation, investigating, leading up to an impeachment proceeding, and so on and so forth, or even taking Trump to the Supreme Court about something he's done. So I think what's important here is that Nancy Pelosi has a good point in that I don't think the public groundwork has really been prepared for a full-on impeachment proceeding. And I think that when we look at public opinion, it's murky precisely because most people don't understand the procedures that Congress is going through. What they see is 20 Democratic presidential candidates who, if they're running for the Democratic nomination for the presidency, are 100% going to be impeach. Nancy Pelosi is working on a different timeline, and she's also looking at public opinion in a way that's much more nuanced than whether he should be impeached or not. If you ask people, for example, do you think Trump should be impeached or should proceedings for impeachment, the public really doesn't know the difference. It's pretty well split. But when you look at, say, last month, NBC Wall Street Journal did an interesting poll between June 8th and June 11th and gave people more of a choice. Should we begin hearings? Should we continue investigating? Should there be no hearings at all? And so when you look at that, 27% say begin the impeachment hearings, and another 24% continue investigating, and 48% say no hearings at all. So I think what you get is a little more nuanced here. Keep investigating, have the hearings, but you don't necessarily have to call it impeachment proceedings, at least for the general public.
Professor Rose, is Nancy Pelosi right to play the long game?
Oh, she most certainly is politically. That's very astute to play the long game. You know, you only have to reflect back on what happened after Bill Clinton was impeached in, was it, 98? And his public approval rating rose.
They soared.
Soared, that's right. So she's very aware of that. You know, she is such an experienced political figure down there. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that she is really, in many ways, very cautious on this ongoing drum that we heard, you know, about impeaching or even forming an impeachment inquiry. She is a political war horse, and she knows exactly what she's doing by not running with the progressives on this issue.
And just to clarify, because I have seen some reports that were frankly wrong. Congressman Himes is calling for an impeachment inquiry. He is not saying the president should be
that's
impeached.
Right.
He's saying we should start the questioning. Let's find out everything that's going on.
That's right. You know, but when I sat here and listened to Congressman Himes, and obviously he's, you know, a very thoughtful individual, and I have a great deal of respect for him. In fact, he visited my class this past semester, you know. But, you know, I've heard so much talk about impeachment, and today we listened about impeachment inquiry. But what I want to know is, even, you know, let's just take the congressman's position on this. What exactly is his main concern? And what I heard was, you know, the behavior of the president. And I heard about what was going on at the border, which— and anybody who studies what's going on at the border knows that that is really a two-branch affair. It's not just presidential. And when you look at the Constitution, you know, impeachment, when you start moving towards impeachment, it's over treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors. And what I want to hear, and I didn't hear it in the two presidential debates either, and what I was hoping to hear today is what exactly are we talking about here? Is it a high— what kind of high crime are we talking about? or what is the misdemeanor? You know, and I'm just hearing more like, you know, moral behavior. And to me, that doesn't rise to the level of even an impeachment inquiry. I really don't see that.
Larry Levy, there are those who believe that impeachment proceedings could backfire and they'll actually help President Trump get reelected. Do they have a point?
Yeah, they have a very good point. Again, there's the word nuance was used earlier. There's some nuance in this. If the Democrats pursue the Pelosi path, which is to keep an inquiry and keep the investigations going, keep ratcheting up the pressure, gaining more material for campaign fodder, you know, that's not going to have much, if any, blowback. But if they jump full into impeachment, then you get, and I don't know who was speaking before me, then you get into the territory that he was talking about, where people are saying, wait a second, what are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? Why aren't we talking about infrastructure? Why aren't we talking about education? Why aren't we talking about the environment? Why aren't we talking about all kinds of other things that people generally care about? And then, of course, there's the whole notion of, well, don't we have like a year, only a year? Why are we doing impeachment now when the public is going to get to vote in a year or so?
The gentleman who was speaking right before you was Professor Gary Rose. He runs the
Sorry about that, Gary.
He runs the politics department at Sacred Heart University. Scott McLean is still with us, and he is a professor of political science at Quinnipiac University. Professor McLean, I'm going to ask you to respond to what Professor Rose had to say, because I thought he made a very interesting point. Are these high crimes? Is there something clearly illegal? Or is the president just engaging in what some of us would perceive to be immoral behavior? And is that enough of a reason for him to be removed from office?
That kind of question is exactly what an impeachment proceeding is supposed to determine as House committees deliberate this and hear from witnesses, get subpoenas, and so on. Professor Rose is absolutely right that none of that has been defined yet. It can't really be defined until an impeachment proceeding starts, and you can't start an impeachment proceeding until you're clear enough about what you're actually investigating. We do have an investigation of the president. It's called the Mueller Report. The Mueller Report lays out what appears to be specific crimes that the president committed in obstructing justice, but Mueller declined to actually charge the president. And so now this report is before Congress, and they have to decide not so much whether these are crimes, but whether they are raised at the level that would require Congress to eject the president from office, to come up with charges that would go to the Senate. So the part of the time factor of this is also an important thing. So we're getting closer to an election, and the voters ultimately will get to decide. So I think part of what Pelosi is attempting to do is to slowly prosecute the president in Congress and in the media and in the mind of the public so that the voters can make this kind of decision about Trump's behavior, and that the public can not only be acting like lawyers or prosecutors, but can look at that other bad behavior that may or may not be criminal behavior, and I think that that's ultimately a wise decision on Pelosi's part.
Professor McLean, I have to ask you: were you surprised when Jim Himes came out and said, you know, at least let's get going with an impeachment inquiry?
Well, I think different members. No, I'm not surprised. That's sort of the thing to say these days if you're a Democratic politician, an office holder that's in Congress. But I think that every member of Congress is going to come to that decision point at different times. So some have been saying it for a long time. Jim Himes is just now saying it. that we have passed the point of just looking at what Trump has done, and now it's time to officially start an impeachment proceeding. The thing about an impeachment proceeding that's different than what's going on now is an impeachment proceeding has more powerful subpoena power. Right now, it can get kicked into the courts. It can Trump administration can waste time, burn out the clock. Even if Congress wins in its subpoena fights right now, it's eventually going to get kicked down further in time. With an impeachment proceedings, none of that can happen. Things will happen a lot faster. And so many people are looking at the clock and getting ready to say it's time for an impeachment proceeding.
Larry Levy, with the short amount of time that we have left, where does this go from here? What's your best guess?
Well, the public, particularly the swing suburban voter, is going to act more like a jury. They're the ones who are going to sit in their home watching the television, reading the newspaper, being online, and making, you know, the most of what they hear. Ironically, with all the president's talk about a political witch hunt in the pursuit of this case, whether it's through an impeachment or investigation, it really is, the irony is that it's politics that's keeping it from becoming an impeachment proceeding. Whether you agree with the politics or not, the Mueller report, as the professor said, you know, definitely lays out a pathway toward impeachment. And Nancy Pelosi, has made a decision with a firm eye, as former Congressman Israel was very good at understanding these swing suburban voters.
Professor Rose, I think it's going to come down to the final word from you. What's your best guess, looking into your political crystal ball? Where does this end up over the next few weeks, next few months?
Well, I think the intention is to drag out all of the suspicion, the hyperbole, the rhetoric about the president's behavior, all the way until the election. And I'd be very surprised, actually, if they were able to cobble together a majority vote for an impeachment. I really do. I think that there are simply too many Democrats that are in swing districts right now that have reservations about whether or not they really want to cast that type of vote.
What about the sentiment in our region, specifically Connecticut and Long Island? What do you see around here?
Well, yeah, this is, again, it's a very blue area, as you know, Democratic, and that we do have a lot of progressive Democrats in this area who probably would take that step towards impeachment. And in Connecticut, I think I wouldn't be surprised if, in fact, you know, Congressman Himes' inquiry rises to the level of a vote. I mean, if it does, I wouldn't be surprised at all if all members of Connecticut's congressional delegation perhaps, vote for impeachment. But again, we're talking Connecticut and New York. That's not Wisconsin, Ohio, and a lot of the swing districts that we see out in the Rust Belt.
Gary Rose is professor and chair in the Department of Government, Politics, and Global Studies at Sacred Heart University. Larry Levy is the executive dean of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University. And Scott McLean is professor of political science at Quinnipiac University. Gentlemen, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Sure.
Larry Scott, thank you. Thank you, Professor
Bye-bye.
Rose, as always. If you would like to comment on today's show, you could even do so once the program ends. We'd love to get your thoughts. Email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org, or you can find us on Twitter. We're at FullStoryWSHU. That's going to do it for our show today. Had a lot going on. I appreciate you listening. Joel Schrock is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Our associate producers are Christian Carter, Sabrina Garone, Natalie Chafari. J.D. Allen is the producer. Ann Lopez is the senior producer. And Terry Sheridan is our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.